Hello, hi. Thank you everyone for joining me today for this live. It's been a long time that I went live, and this topic actually which I'm going to talk about today is more about how to live seasonally, because this is a season when we experience a lot of a lot of changes happening in our body and in our mind, and so we don't actually realize that these changes at the physical level, which may come across in the form of cold, flu, body not feeling very active, feeling fatigue in the body, and also at the mind level, feeling a level of unsettlement, feeling ungroundedness, a little bit of anxiety for some of the people. So this topic is actually to understand, is there any logic and science behind why these changes happen in our body and mind during this time of the year, or it's just by chance that we are experiencing all that illness, health conditions which come across during the autumn season in our body and mind. So I'll start off with my story. Before I got into yoga and Ayurveda, I used to feel some level of discomfort during different seasonal changes. So when a season used to shift from, say, summers to winters or winters to summers, specifically during those times, I used to realize that I had a little bit more anxiety, and specifically during the autumn time when you're moving from heat towards more colder months. So there used to be a level of ungroundedness, a little bit of discomfort in the body, seasonal changes coming in, feeling maybe cold, flu striking in, and I couldn't actually realize that it could actually to do with the weather as well. So this is what I actually believe that we all go through, where we don't realize that when the weather is changing, there is a specific kind of energy moving in the weather, and this energy has a very direct impact on how our body and mind behaves during these seasonal shifts. So I guess studying Ayurveda actually brought about that awareness that it's about balance. So the way you feel very active during summers or during pleasant season, why don't you feel the same during these transitional changes? So this is what I want to talk about, that these transition times traditionally are known to be the times of change, and this change actually impacts our body and mind very deeply. So let's start with what are the health conditions that we actually experience during the autumn season. It could be anywhere from, I'll divide it into different, how it relates to different parameters in the body when we talk about these health conditions changing in our body during autumn. So our respiratory health is the first one to get impacted during this time, specifically cold, flus, cough, and now that the flus have actually gotten very intense. So, people with poor lung functioning generally experience such kind of shifts more than the people who do not have any specific kind of lung conditions. So respiratory condition is the first condition that will strike you during these transitional shifts. Then digestive condition. So I think this is something that we don't relate to, but closely when I started observing, I realized that generally I have a very good digestion, but during this transition changes, I don't know why it just goes up and down. When I got deeper into it, I realized that there's this science of season change being applied there. So most of the people may experience constipation, bloating, gastric conditions, acidic conditions going high during this time of the year. Then at the skin level also you may realize some changes. Skin tends to behave a little more dry. If you by any chance suffer from eczema or any kind of chronic skin conditions, your chronic the level of these chronic skin conditions flares up for no reason, and you don't realize why your eczema or psoriasis or dry skin conditions are on a rise during this time of the year. Also, at the subtle level, your nervous system is very highly impacted by these seasonal shifts. So how do you experience that in the form of maybe a little bit of anxiety, some form of unsettled feeling, or a sense of emptiness or spaciness? Even if you have everything, you go out, enjoy, but there's a lack or there's a level of emptiness in the atmosphere that you feel. So at these four levels, respiratory level, digestive level, nervous system level, and the skin level, we'll try to understand, is it by chance that such conditions happen, or is there any science going on behind that? So I think yoga and Ayurveda have a very beautiful answer to why such conditions are happening to you, specifically at the level of these four body systems. Going back to the basics, yoga and Ayurveda consider humans, rather all species on life, as the microcosm of the macrocosm. So which means any change that is happening in the nature is replicating itself in our body as well. So that's the reason you don't feel very drastic shifts maybe in peak summers or in peak winters, because your body is settled, your body is adjusted to that weather, and your body is adjusted in summers to heat and in cold to the winters. So when nature replicates itself, what I mean by that is, at a very high level, the concepts of Ayurveda go back to this idea of five elements. Nature is made up of five elements. It's earth, water, fire, air, and space. And similarly, our body is also made up of these five elements: earth, water, fire, space, earth. So in our body, these five elements show up or replicate themselves in different forms, but they are directly, you know, in a way in Ayurveda associated with these five elements. For example, water element is more about everything watery inside our body. It could be our digestive juices, it's the blood flowing inside the body, it's anything which has a liquid consistency is replicates the water element inside our body. So how water behaves outside is exactly the way the water will behave inside our body. Similarly, earth, all the solid parts of our body, the solidity of our body, muscles, bones, is related to the earth element. It has that density. Similarly, going by the space element, breathing, your prana is associative with your air element. So similarly, if you see these elements in different seasons go through a specific kind of a change. Like for example, if it is metal element, in summers it would heat more, in winters it has a tendency of being more cold. Similarly, the air element outside in the nature, if you see specifically during the autumn times, this time of the year the air is high, it's kind of windy outside and it's blowing away everything. So if you try to relate that similar concept happening inside the body, the air element inside your body during this time of the year is very high. And this air element is specifically in Ayurveda considered to be the Vata element, which I'll be talking of a little later. So I just wanted to set up the context of how nature replicates within us, and we really need to look at nature, what's happening outside in the nature, and similarly basis what's going outside, what's happening inside the body, and how these four systems that I talked about are related to the air element, which are causing all that problems that we are facing during this time of the year. So these energetic shifts which are happening to the elements, either in outside in the nature or within our body, ultimately create some kind of imbalance. And at our body and mind level, we experience these imbalances at a very gross level in the form of health conditions that we experience: colds, flus, anxiety, insomnia, constipation. All of these conditions are related to Vata conditions, which is like high windy condition outside and inside our body. So let's first understand what is the nature's behavior at this point in time, because basis that we'll try to understand what's going on inside our body during this time of the year. So if you see the nature's behavior at this point is windy. And these are specific adjectives which we can relate to this specific time of the year. It's windy outside, it's dry outside, the air is really rough, and it's cool in nature. So if you again deeply look at what's going on in the nature deeply, the days are starting to become shorter, the darkness is starting to increase, light in the nature is diminishing, it's becoming a little more darker. And if you see the other species outside in the nature, any other species except humans, because we've adapted to kind of working day and night 24/7. But if you look at outside human species, if you look at it, the animal species or the plant kingdom is very still during the nighttime, during darkness. So and during this time of the year, the animal species is more about in a state of hibernation. You'll see that they start to get more inwards, trying to preserve their energies and to come back again with full swing during springtime and the summertime. So this is the time to preserve your energies. Gradually, as you move on to winters, that's the time to build your energies silently, and then just come back with a bang during springtime, which is where the earth comes up with all that vegetation, all that bloom on the earth. And similarly, these are the changes which are exactly the similar changes happening inside our body as well. So going deeper, if you look at nature's behavior, the trees are shedding more at this point in time, the leaves are shedding off, which is also an indication that our body is shedding out a lot, our body is releasing a lot, which also is an indication that this is the time where, the body is automatically in a state of detoxification. This is where we need to support our body towards detoxification. Also, if you see at the behavior of the leaves during this time, because of the windy airy atmosphere, the leaves start to dry off. There's a lot of dehydration in the atmosphere. That dehydration starts to replicate in your body in the form of how your skin behaves, feeling more dry inside your body. So this is the nature of how the nature is behaving during autumn. Now we'll try to understand what's going on inside our body, similar to the similar adjectives or traits which are happening in the autumn, which I just mentioned, which is about being windy, being dry, being rough, being cool. All of these four or five associative parameters are replicating very deeply inside our body as well. So let's understand how. So dryness of autumn starts to show up on your skin in the form of dryness. We see our skin starts to get drier on the outside, and it's like this dryness is different from the dryness that we experience all through the year. It's much more drier. You start to feel those feelings of crackiness. People with chronic skin conditions, again, like eczema, psoriasis, start to feel even more experience even more flare up of such conditions. Dryness inside the body starts to show up in the form of dry cough. You feeling a lot of dryness in your chest, in your lungs. That's the level of dryness that shows up internally inside the body. Now dryness, that dryness also actually starts to show up in all those health conditions that we start to experience at the lung level, which is about cold, cough, flus, sinuses, and your respiratory health being more vulnerable during this time of the year. Lack of hydration, which is also an aspect of nature happening during this time of the year, starts to show up in the form of dry body. Again, dehydration starts, which again shows up on your skin. Too much of air movement, which is again a trait of this time of the year outside in the environment, inside the body, because of those winds, that air movement being high, it starts to show up in the fluctuations of the nervous system. So when I mean, what I mean by that is any fluctuation at the nervous system level starts to show up in discomfort in at your emotions level. You may start to feel a little more anxious, you may start to feel unsettled, you may start to feel ungrounded because of the high level of prana or energy, or that air element being high outside and inside in the nature. So that's the understanding how Ayurveda looks at you from the perspective of seasonal shifts which happen outside and inside your body as well. Now, if we have to look at the solutions of how do we deal with such situations and make sure that we build up our health during this time of the year, we again have to go back and understand the logic behind how Ayurveda defines you are supposed to take care of all of these air element parameters in your body and mind, which goes back to two important principles that Ayurveda talks about. The first principle is about like increases like, and the second principle that Ayurveda talks about is bringing in opposite qualities to bring about balance. So now these two principles are universal principles. These very beautifully apply to everything that you do during this time of the year. It applies to your diet, it applies to your lifestyle, it applies to your exercising patterns, it applies to your thought process, it applies to your approach to your work, it applies to how you spend your dinacharya how you live your daily routine. So like increases like, what does that mean? It's the same principle that I just explained, that whatever changes are happening in the nature this time of the year, which is windy, cool, dry and rough, the similar traits will start to replicate itself inside our body, which is like increases like. So if it is windy outside, you'll start to feel the repercussions of windiness inside. If it is dry outside, you will start to feel the repercussions of dryness inside. If it is rough and cool outside, you start to feel a level of roughness and cool body starting to get cooler inside. So this is the principle of like increases like, which means if you eat anything which increases all of these parameters, that's where you're creating an imbalance. That is where you are starting to manifest all those health conditions which come across during this point in time. So I think somebody questioned how should we start our yoga if not done before. So I'll take that question later. Let me just complete my session and I'll come to the queries later. So now how do we balance it out? We need to balance it out with the second principle that Ayurveda talks about, which is about bringing opposite qualities to bring about balance. So now this this concept of bringing opposite qualities, what does that mean? So it relates to everything that you can think of in terms of its opposite. For example, opposite of left is right, opposite of cold is hot, opposite of dry is oily, opposite of good is bad. So when you start to relate yourself with these aspects or traits of opposites, that is where you get the clues what is it that you're supposed to do during this time of the year to make sure that you do not fall sick or get into the trap of these seasonal changes which happen during this time of the year. So exactly this is what we are supposed to do during this time of the year. We need to bring in the opposite qualities of dry, windy, cool, and roughness during the autumn season to live well, to make sure that these health conditions do not impact us. These are the fundamental shifts that you need to bring in all aspects of your existence. You need to bring in these changes in your diet, in your lifestyle, in the way you plan your day, in the way you think, in the way you plan your exercising patterns. And when you start to bring about these opposite qualities in your routine, in the way you live your life, you automatically see your chances of getting sicker during seasonal changes keep coming down year by year, month by month. So Vata, autumn, or Ayurveda, what's the connection there? So we just understood the specific traits of Vata, which the autumn, which are happening during this time of the year. Now the specific traits of windy, dry, rough, and cool are the similar traits which are also understood in Ayurveda as the Vata traits. So Vata is the air element broadly. So Vata in our body directly is related to these four systems that I talked about initially when I started my session. So these four systems, if I have to restate, Vata will start to show up in an imbalanced way in your in your respiratory health. High Vata will start to show up in your digestive health in the form of disturbed digestion, constipation. High Vata will start to show up in your nervous system in the form of anxiety, in the form of unsettled and ungrounded feelings. It will also start to show up at the level of your skin in the form of dryness. So these are the four systems that we really need to make sure that we take care of during this time of the year, because and we need to bring in the opposite qualities at these four different levels through our diet and lifestyle to feel more grounded, to feel more settled, to defy any kind of health conditions that may be building up for us during this time of the year. So specific traits of Vata, if it is high in your body, may ultimately lead to conditions like insomnia, poor digestion, bloating, anxiety, dry skin, overthinking, anxiety. These are those specific traits of this specific energy which is high during this time of the year. So another thing that that this time of the year brings about, which is a trait of Vata, that Vata does not have a discipline. Like if you see at the look at the air, air does not have any stability if it's imbalanced. So if it is windy, that wind may blow in upward direction, in lower direction, in sideways direction, in fraction of seconds. So there is no discipline to how an imbalanced Vata may show up. It may show up anywhere in any form and in its full intensity if it's imbalanced. And similarly, if it is imbalanced inside your body, it may replicate in a same way in the form of maybe one day constipation, the other day not feeling well in your mind, the third day not feeling in good in the at the digestive level, because the way this air is moving inside the body, it will ensure, you know, will kind of decide what kind of health conditions you may experience on day-to-day basis during this time of the year. So what does Vata need at this point in time to feel relaxed and to be away from diseases in autumn? It needs a level of stability, it needs a level of grounding, and it needs a level of nurturing consciously done again in our diet and lifestyle to make sure that we deal well with these unbalanced, ungrounded energies of Vata prevailing outside and inside. So now, you know, how do we bring about the balance? So again, before we try to understand what kind of diet, what kind of lifestyle you should be bringing in during this time of the year, let's just understand what are the opposite qualities that we need to bring in. So if there is dryness outside and if there is dryness inside, we need to increase a level of oiliness and hydration inside and outside our body. If it is, you know, if the weather is indicating coldness outside and inside, we need to bring in a level of warmth, you know, inside and outside. If it is a level of roughness that is showing outside in the nature, we need to bring in a level of smoothness inside the body. And of course, you know, how we take care of ourselves. And even in your movement, in your exercising patterns, if it is too much of a movement going on in the out in the environment, we need to ensure that we bring in certain practices that bring down that activity level, that bring about that stillness and stability to bring about our balance. And from these four principles, the concept of the diet during this time of the year and the concept of lifestyle during this time of the year is deeply driven in Ayurveda and yoga philosophy. So now the application of these qualities of oiliness, hydration, warmth, smoothness, bringing in more grounding and stability, which are the keywords for living well in this during this time of the year, we need to bring in all of these in the form of our diet, in the form of our lifestyle, in the form of yoga practices, in the form of how we consciously conduct our thoughts and emotions, and also in the form of Ayurveda rituals that bring about that balance which we start to lose during this time of the year. So again, coming back to each individual trait, I'll try to educate and help understand at specific, you know, different levels inside our body, how do we bring about that balance at each body system that we just talked about. So if we look at the trait of dryness and coolness, which is a trait of Vata, very high during this time of the year, dryness and coolness is replicating itself in our lungs and in our skin health. So which means you really need to take care of your lungs and skin health during this time of the year. You need to keep your lungs moist and deal with the dryness to make sure that you don't end up having all these conditions like cold, cough and respiratory conditions. At the skin level, you also need to ensure that you bring in oiliness and hydration, which is a dryness trait of Vata showing up on the skin during this time of the year more. So some of the Ayurveda practices that you should be bringing in at this level are, the very first thing at the lifestyle level you should be thinking of is oil massage or Abhyanga, which is the oil self oil massage practice. The best time to practice oil massage is before bathing, or you can also practice it during the bedtime. Sesame oil is one of the best oils to practice oil massage. It's like tridoshik, which means it's good for all body types. So sesame oil also brings about a level of groundedness. It has those properties, heavy properties that bring about some settlement at the fleety level, the fleety emotions that we're feeling during this time of the year. Then sesame oil also helps build up immunity, which is much required during this time to deal with these conditions of cold, flus and sinuses which are high. Now intake of good fats at the inner level brings about some level of stillness and grounding to deal with this weather. So maybe increase increasing your intake of, and consciously increasing, I mean, not that you have to go immediately or really high on good fats, but making sure that consuming some substantial amount of good fats in your diet will start to ground you. So maybe having some more ghee in your diet, including foods like avocados, walnuts, nuts, seeds, going high on flax seeds, chia seeds, which are source of good fats, will ensure that you you're working on bringing about that level of groundedness inside the body through consumption of the principle of heaviness or fats which bring about that level of settlement inside the body. Then increasing your water intake, because dehydration is also one of the traits of Vata. So increasing your water intake will make sure that you're being more hydrated, and that dryness which is impacting you internally is taken care of with good hydration. Then at the lung level, you need to ensure that you are practicing practices like pranayama, because for lungs health, there is no better practice than pranayama practices, which so level of moisturization in your lungs you work on through increasing foods of increasing intake of moistening foods, and at the lifestyle level or the yoga level, you bring in that balance through pranayama practices by focusing more on your breathing practices. Now for lung health, it is also very, very important that you focus on things which come under the category of what not to do, rather than only understanding what to do. So the things under the category of what not to do include staying away from anything that imbalances lungs. It could be high smoking, it could be consuming cold foods which your lungs do not like. Cold, coldness is a trait that your lungs do not like. So staying away from cold foods, trying to be more high on warming foods, warming stews, soups, all those kinds of foods which are easy for your body to digest, which are nourishing your different organ systems, is where the clue for living well in this season lies in. And then consuming lung decongesting foods, and so bringing about certain herbs and spices which help you deal with this time by decongesting what's built up inside. So if you have more of mucus built up inside the body, you bring in foods like ginger and scallions and some spices which help break down that buildup which is already there inside the body. So this is about the aspect of dryness and coolness, which replicates itself in your lungs and in your skin. So now the second trait which is high during this time of the year, which is about too much movement outside in the nature, showing up as too much windy conditions, and which replicates itself in our body at the level of nervous system. We need to bring in practices which help settle down our nervous system. So such practices, if I have to highlight, anything which makes you be still, any practices which help you sleep better, any practices which help you settle down in your day, are the practices that you should or must follow during this time of the year to make sure that you do not get blown away by the windy traits of Vata this time around, and that's where your mind starts to go into that loop of fleeting emotions that we experience. So such practices majorly include sleeping well, or maybe even longer, because that brings you in a state of stillness and groundedness and relaxation, which is what you need to focus on during this time of the year. Then having a daily routine is an absolute must during this time of the year. So if you remember when I started my session, I talked about this concept of Vata or air does not have any discipline in itself if it is imbalanced or if it is high. So if it is high, it's moving around in any direction, which means if that high windy or Vata conditions are also impacting our mind, that replication may happen within us in the form of these fleeting thoughts and emotions, and no control over our thoughts or emotions, and thinking anything and everything that's coming our way, which has this tendency of making us disturbed and making us feel unsettled. So you need to bring in a daily routine, or it's a level of not exactly the right word, but it's an approach of distracting your body and mind to forcing itself to follow a specific pattern or a routine daily, so that your mind does not get hooked into that free thinking process, thinking anything and everything and making you feeling unsettled. So bringing in that level of daily routine in your daily life will ensure that you are binding your mind to an activity, throughout the day, and that's where you're kind of binding that mind to certain things that you're supposed to do through the day. So having a daily routine is an absolute must. Even if you don't have a daily routine throughout the year, this is the time that you should focus on building a daily routine to be able to deal with the conditions that happen during the autumn season. Then through foods, you can bring about that level of groundedness or settlement by consuming grounding foods, which come in through root vegetables, foods like pumpkins, root vegetables and ground vegetables. So foods like pumpkin, foods like sweet potato, any root vegetable, carrots, which have dense, formation, which are less in juiciness and more on density, are the ones which will ground you. So maybe having a pumpkin soup in your dinner, or increasing the intake of say carrot salad, which is like stewed or steamed, not in a raw form, because raw also takes the vata conditions high. So try to stay away from raw foods during this time of the year. So this is about how you can take care of your nervous system during this time. Now the seasonal shift, the third aspect of this seasonal shift also shows up in our digestive health. So seasonal shift from summers to windy conditions in autumn disturbs digestion, because too much of a vata does not let the digestion happen really smoothly. So by the way the nature is behaving at this point in time, even if you have good digestion, you may experience some digestive concerns still happening to you during this time of the year, which is a high vata trait. So you need to make sure that you specifically consciously focus on strengthening your digestion during this time of the year. So because this specific trait is also showing up in your digestive health, and that's why digestion is important during this time. So disturbed digestion may start to show you up at this time in the form of gastric conditions, acidic conditions, constipation, stomach ache, or any other kind of digestive condition. So some pointers that can really help you deal with digestive concerns during this time would include, the very first thing that you need to do is to make sure that you focus on on detoxifying your system and lightening your digestion. So consuming foods which are light on digestion and consuming foods which bring about, which do not burden your digestion, is the way to go to manage your digestion during this time. And along with that, bringing in certain foods, certain practices that also help you strengthen your digestion. So these are the two ways how you work on your digestion. So some practical tips that you can bring about in your diet and lifestyle for such conditions may include starting your day with a hot lemon water, which induces detox inside the body. Then you can increase the intake of spices like cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, which have a certain level of spices have this heating property. So a little bit of heat starts to kindle up your agni, or the digestion power, which is where you start to kind of boost your digestion for a better digestion. Specifically, spices like cardamom, cinnamon and clove, they help reduce gastric conditions as well, and they have antimicrobial properties which help which avoid any kind of fermentation kind of activities happening in your digestive tract. So bringing in all these spices do help you deal with the digestive conditions during this time. Consuming Trikatu powder, which is a mix of three spices coming in together. It's ginger, it's peepli, and it's black pepper. Equal quantities of these three spices going in there, make a powder out of it, or you can buy it ready-made as well, and maybe boiling say 1/4 teaspoon of Trikatu powder before your meals takes your digestion up, which ensures that any kind of indigestion conditions, you stay away from that during this time of the year, and it's really powerful. So including Trikatu in your diet as a healing remedy during this time is a wonderful Ayurveda suggestion. So then for mild boost to your digestion regularly during this time of the year, it's a good idea to include ginger and turmeric in your diet. Consuming CCFT, so CCF stands for coriander, cumin and fennel, equal quantities. Either you can pre-soak at night in water, in a bottle of water, 1-2 teaspoon each, or you can boil all of these in water and consume that tea, and you can keep consuming it through the day. So this CCF has a very strong property of breaking down ama, which is the toxic undigested matter that sits in our digestion, which starts to give us these fermenting kind of conditions like bloating, gastric acidic conditions, and which starts to in the long run play around with a lot of creating a lot of imbalances in the body if not worked on or taken out timely, as and when the need sets in. So the need for taking out these gastric conditions in your body is right now during this transition change before you actually step in into the winters. So consuming CCFT is a good idea. Then another important thing, I think, from the apart from food, it is also important to understand how do you eat. Do you have a specific regular time to eat, or do you eat any time and every any time through the day as and when hunger strikes in, or you have this habit of munching through the day? So if you have any such habits of munching or eating throughout the day and not eating your fuller meals in your main meal, even if you're consuming the right foods, you are not supporting your digestion, because digestion needs about 2 to 3 hours to process the previous foods and before you put in the new foods for digestion. So if you keep putting it in, the digestion of the previous foods is kind of, the previous foods are sitting in there, the digestion starts working on the new food. So you're accumulating a lot of toxins in the body if you're not letting the previous foods get processed in the system and then bring in the new food. So it's very important to have regular rhythm and specific regular meal timings to make sure that you support your digestion, specifically during this time when the digestion by nature is weak. So, and then in the morning, it's a good idea to start your day by bringing about foods which rekindle your digestive fire or your agni. So such foods are like which have a mild warming property, like ginger, like turmeric, so in the breakfast, then having foods which are more light textured, which are more soupy in nature, which are more watery in nature, that give you a good level of hydration. So this is the approach to how you should be thinking or designing your meals for digestion during this time of the year. Now moving on to how, as per Ayurveda, your diet should look like during this time of the year. So if I have to give you quick clues around how you should be designing your diet during this time of the year, so the keywords are warm, oily, moist and heavy. So when it is about warm foods, try staying away from foods which are cold. Try to consume fresh foods which are warm, so that it helps in digestion and it passes through your digestive system really easily. Then bring in oily foods, as I mentioned initially during starting of my session. Bring in more of good fat based foods, oily foods which are heavy textured and heavy in nature, to bring about that settlement. Bring in moist foods. Moist foods would again mean foods which have this hydrating property, maybe steamed foods or soupy foods or stews or liquid consistency foods or porridges are a good addition during this time of the year. So all of these specific kinds of foods having these specific traits not only bring about that settlement, they also increase your immunity and also help you build your warmth reserves in the body, preparing you for the winters. These also help you calm down any kind of anxieties if you have during this time of the year. So, you really need to focus on these four traits in your meals while designing your meals specifically for the season. Bringing in some kind of sweet taste in your meals during this time is a very good idea. So when I mean sweet taste, it is not the sugars that I'm talking about, the refined sugars or bakery items that I'm talking about. Here, sweet means natural sweets coming in from natural foods. So like sweet potato is sweet, like dates are sweet, like whole grains are sweet. So bringing in fruits, vegetables and foods which are naturally sweet during this time of the year will keep you calm, will keep you happy, will keep you in a joy state and will bring about a level of settlement inside the body. Then consuming a little bit of more naturally salty foods like foods which are really good in natural sodium levels, like spinach. Like maybe including some form of sea salt or natural salts in your diet, bring about that level of moistness so that they moist your body, and we need that moistness at your lung level to perform well, to be away from any catching any kind of colds and flus during the season. So bringing in that naturally sodium rich and potassium rich foods in your diet is the way to go to kind of bring in that saltiness, good kind of saltiness in your diet for internal balance. Then swap your raw salads with steamed cooked salads or cooked vegetables. So it could be in the form of steamed vegetables, it could be in the form of stews, it could be in the form of cooked vegetables, whatever you like, but try staying away from raw vegetables during this time, specifically also because the digestion is weak, and on a weak digestion the raw foods may give you more fermentation leading to bloating and all those kinds of digestive concerns. Then increase your consumption of soups, as I mentioned, and cooked vegetables is a very good food during this time of the year. So maybe you can have stewed apples, which are sweet, which are tasty, and which are filling, and which kind of have a grounding, nourishing effect on the body. Including good amounts of good oils, as I just mentioned, is definitely the need of the hour. So bring in those good oils in your diet during this time. Make sure that your evening meals are nourishing but not heavy. So there's a very fine line between having nourishing foods and going high on heavy kind of food. So you need to maintain that balance, specifically during the night time. If you want to have really high heavy foods, make sure that these are consumed during the lunchtime when your digestive power is higher to digest them. And during the dinner time, keep it really light. Keep it so when I say light, it's like more in the soupy styles, more in the porridge form, more in a khichdi form, so that it's really easy on digestion. And make sure that you consume your foods at least 2 to 3 hours before sleep, so that the foods get digested before you actually go off to sleep, to avoid any kind of toxic accumulations, which is the ama, which Ayurveda talks about as the root cause of most health and skin conditions that happen to us in the long run. So eating well in time before bed is a very good tip to make sure that you stay away from any kind of diseases, not just during this time of the year, but all through the year. And then increase moistening foods in your diet. So in the category of moistening foods, you can consume more apples, you can go high on walnuts, honey, rice, sesame seeds, spinach. All of these foods are really high on moistening qualities that will keep your skin away from dryness and will also keep your body away from dryness, which can lead to dry cough and lung respiratory conditions starting to manifest during this time. So this is about how you should be working on your diet in autumn. And the yoga principles for the autumn, what are the kind of yogic practices that you should be focusing on during this time of the year, that there are certain rules or principles around that as well. So the very first thing that you should or must focus on from the yogic perspective during this time is your digestive fire, because we know the digestion already is weak during this time. So focusing on practices that rekindle your digestion. So these practices would include practices like Kapalbhati pranayam in the morning, or bringing in the Agnisar kriya, which is the a flapping of the abdomen to kind of rekindle or stimulate your digestion. And doing these in the morning will ensure that through the day you are kind of you've supported your digestion for the foods which you keep consuming through the day. So practice these digestive strengthening practices in the morning. Then practicing yoga asanas, which come from the series of Pavan Muktasana, Pavan Muktasana series, which help release any kind of gastric accumulations that you're holding inside the body, any kind of acidic gastric conditions that you're holding, to release all of that holding. Practicing Pavan Muktasana series is a very good idea. Again, to be practiced empty stomach early in the morning, so include such series in your yoga practice or any in your exercising practices every single day. Then to detoxify your body, because your belly is holding a lot of toxins during this time of the year, so to detoxify your belly specifically during this time, bring in a lot of twisting movements in your yoga practices. So it could be something like a triangle pose or belly twists, or Ardha Matsyendra asana, Bhastrika pranayam, which again stimulates the release of toxins in the body, are good practices to make sure that you are focusing on detoxifying during this time, along with bringing in other shifts that we've just discussed in the diet and lifestyle in the session. So practicing forward bends is also a very good idea during this time of the year. So forward bends actually support detoxification, specifically at the abdomen level. So practicing practices like like Paschimottanasana, Padhasthasana are good practices to practice during this time to kind of support your body for deeper detox. Then practicing warm up during this time of the year is an absolute must. So the body is, so as you know, again going back to the concept, the body is gradually moving from hot to windy and gradually to cold during winter months. So during that time of transition, you really need to support your body in that transition and flow with that flow of the body and nature, which means if we are moving more towards windy and then towards coldness, you need to bring in warmth inside the body by bringing in practices which are warming to the body. So maybe joint opening practices, simple practices for your joints is a very good idea during this time, and that will also keep you away from any kind of stiffness or pains that you feel in your joints during this time. Then bringing in practices, restorative practices, which help you ground, which help you settle down through the day are good practices to follow during this time. Bringing in Surya Namaskar, because our circulation is also hampered during this time of the year. So bringing in circulatory practices to make the blood moving, to create warmth inside the body. Again, going back to the idea and concept of from heat to windy to cold, we are transitioning, the nature is transitioning, so is our body transitioning internally. So bring you need to learn to understand how to flow from heat to balancing wind and to balancing again towards moving towards coldness with the balance. You need to focus on these yogic practices which support which support warmth inside the body. So Surya Namaskar is a very good practice that creates that gentle warmth inside the body that takes up your circulation. With that circulation going up, you generate warmth and you're supporting all the body systems inside the body. So Surya Namaskar practice is an absolute must during this time of the year. However, having said that, Ayurveda does not recommend going high on maybe overdoing things during this time, because the Vata is high, the airy quality in the atmosphere and in our body is high. So if you overdo things, you end up tiring your nervous system badly, and we know that nervous system is vulnerable, it's sensitive during this time of the year, and we should not be practicing any practice which impacts vulnerable systems during this time, which include your lungs, which include your digestion, which includes your skin, and which includes your nervous system. So keeping your nervous system in balance is the need of the hour during this time. So coming back to Surya Namaskar, a lot of people practice Surya Namaskar, and there are different ways how do you practice Surya Namaskar. You can practice it slow, you can practice by focusing on specific postures, you can stay in a posture and then move on from one posture to the other, or you can also perform quick Surya Namaskars. Some people also prefer performing 108 Surya Namaskars, which is, or maybe going high. So by the philosophy of yoga, specifically by Ayurveda principles of high Vata, stay away from practicing that cycle of 108 Surya Namaskars during this time. You still can practice Surya Namaskar by doing it slow, staying in a posture and moving very slowly in your practice to ensure that you do not take that airy element high, or do not flare up that airy element by just moving and rotationally and going very high on activity. We need to really settle down during this time of the year, so which can be practiced very well in Surya Namaskar as well. So slowly doing your practices is the way to go during this time. And then focusing on nervous system to bring about that balance. Practicing pranayama practices specifically have a very deep impact on your nervous system. Breathing practices directly impact your nervous system. So anulom vilom pranayama is specifically the one which balances the two sides of the brain, which there's a lot of activity going on inside our mind during this time because of high Vata, which is again a trait of high windiness being there in the environment right now. So anulom vilom creates that balance, the sun and moon balance, the heat and cold balance inside the body, which is what we need during this time of the year. Neither too stimulated, neither too deep into inactivity. So somewhere you need to have that balance, which is where actually anulom viloma pranayama really helps you during this time. So, and this is what, from the nervous system perspective, we really need to be more high on breathing practices during this time as compared to asana practices. Or even if you're doing asana practices during this time, make sure that you're practicing more of stillness and more of restorative rather than vinyasa, rather than that flows and, you know, too much of a movement during this time. So also to calm your nervous system, meditation is a very good way, because see, when we are talking of vata, we are talking of high movement. We are talking of how our mind is functioning during this time of the year. So even if you're doing high, you know, flows of Surya Namaskara during this time, it's because your mind. So, you know, whatever your body replicates, there is a level of intervention of your mind going at the back of it. So if your mind is active, you would want to go ahead and do practice more activity. So we really need to bring in practices that bring down the activity of the mind. So if your mind is settled down, you're automatically settled in your body and mind. So that's the reason focusing on meditation during this time of the year will bring a level of calm and settlement at your mind. When a mind is calm, you know, you can better manage your body and that urge for more activity as compared to you know, an active mind and trying to bring in settlement in an active mind. So focusing on the mind is also an absolute must during this time for bringing about that balance in the body. And then, okay, so these are the yogic principles to be applied at these four system levels that we just discussed, which are vulnerable or impacted during the autumn season. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I think from diet and lifestyle and yoga perspective, I'm done with my session. I will try taking a few questions that few of you asked. So I think I got a few questions, one question from someone asking that should we be practicing? So for somebody who hasn't practiced yoga ever, how should they start? I would recommend this time of the year is actually not the time to get ahead with your yoga practice, which are really aggressive or intense in nature. So having said that, it's always a good idea to practice yoga all through the year, but you need to understand the energies of the nature. Bringing in more grounding and settlement and warmth is what you need to focus on. These are the keywords to be focused on from your diet and lifestyle and even yoga perspective during this time. So if you are a newbie wanting to start yoga journey during this time, focus more on joint opening, focus more on warming practices. Do not get overwhelmed by what other people are doing, what people in your class are doing, considering they're doing maybe, you know, intense practices or doing these advanced asanas. You don't need it right now if you are a beginner. You need to go step by step, start to open up your body, create flow inside the body, create openness and warmth inside the body. Once you've created all these traits inside the body, it will be very easier for you to kind of map the levels of what your peers are doing or going high on practices which are intense or which are really advanced postures. So that's the beginning. Okay, so I think I have another question. Anulom Vilom balances the nervous system. Yes, absolutely. And pranayam. So pranayam should be practiced for longer periods. How long? Okay, so you know, this is a very subjective question, I would say. For a practitioner, yoga practitioner who's been practicing for years and years, and who's created a level of balance in the body at the level of Vata, Pitta and Kapha as per Ayurveda, that outside changes do not much impact a person if you've already created that level of balance inside the body and if you've already worked on your body for years and years and years, and if you've created that inner environment or inner atmosphere really balanced, then the outside atmosphere will have least impact on you. For such people, they can go ahead and practice, keep their practice regular, even if they're keeping, you know, a longer time of pranayama. Having said that, the pranayamas are also in, you know, traditional texts, they are divided into cooling pranayamas and, you know, heating pranayamas. So we should stay away from cooling pranayama. Something like Sheetli and Sheetkari are the pranayams not to be practiced during this time of the year, because they set in that a level of coldness inside the body. Having said that, intense heating pranayamas are also not recommended during this time of the year, because we haven't still reached a stage where it is really cold outside and that cold has started to impact our internal body. So too much of heating and too much of cold creating pranayama practices are not required during this time of the year. What we need is the breathing practices that bring about balance, which create a subtle level of heat and still maintain that balance of cold inside the body. And so such pranayama practices majorly include gentle, focus on your breathing practices, conscious slowing down of your practices, practicing rhythmic pranayama practices before actually getting into those deeper pranayama, just focusing on breath work. I guess that's the beginning. And then Anulom Viloma is one of the best pranayams to be practiced during this time of the year, because as we understood nervous system is really overhauled during this time of the year, and Anulom Vilom is one pranayama that brings about that balance in your nervous system. So for how long, again, as I mentioned, it can actually vary person to person. If for a newbie, it's always a good idea to start with just say 8 or 10 rounds of any pranayama practices that you're doing. Gradually you can go up on say by 5 minutes, 10 minutes, then increase to 15 or 20 minutes. Ideal good pranayama practice may last you from somewhere around say 20 minutes to 30 minutes, and not bringing in a lot of it. Again, the keyword here is you don't have to rush into it. You do not have to bring in that intensity. You don't need that during this time. If you bring that intensity, you are disturbing that vata. You're taking that high activity element high, which will induce vata, and then the benefit of pranayama you'll not avail much, because we are trying to take control of vata, and by going intense we are taking that vata up. We need to really learn how to control that. So that controlling will happen with gentle practices, with slow practices, with stillness practices, and even if it is pranayama, just stick to 2 or 3 practices. Repeatability is the key. So if you've picked up Anulom Vilom, it's better to stick to Anulom Vilom for a little more time than doing it say two or three rounds of Anulom Vilom and switching on to the second one and then third one. So that your body needs stability. Just remember that principle of Ayurveda. Like increases like, and your body needs opposite qualities. So for your nervous system, which is high, to bring in that level of settlement, you need stability, you need consistency, and you need to bring in everything that you do, your diet, lifestyle, even your pranayama practices. So yeah, I mean, I think take your call basis what's going on inside your body and where do you stand right now, but start from 5 to 10 minutes. I think that's a good time to begin with when it is about pranayama practices. Yes, too many Surya Namaskar rounds creates imbalance in the nervous system. See, when we are talking about Surya Namaskars or any kind of intense yoga practice, depending what is your practice level, if you are a practitioner for years, as I said, if you've created that level of balance of Vata, Pitta and Kapha inside the body, those universal energies are balanced inside the body, those universal energies are the fundamentals at the subtle level, but that subtle level also creates your physical level. So if these energies are balanced inside the body, your physical self is also more or less balanced, which means any kind of organ functioning, what's going on at your body and mind level, you've already reached a level of balance at all those levels. For such people who already maintain that balance, even if they are practicing intense practices, even if they are practicing vinyasas, even if they are practicing practices like Ashtanga Vinyasa, which is the most intense form of yoga practice that you can think of, you will not create much imbalance inside the body, because you already are at a level of balance. For the people who are not at that level of balance, for them they really need to see where do they stand. Like for example, I'll take my example. For me, it's been like, about 1 year I moved from India to Canada, and that was the time for a lot of Vata, and it was exactly this time of the year when we moved. So it was October, which was the high Vata time. Traveling is high Vata. Too much of a movement is high Vata. When you shift to a new place, it's like too much of a planning, too much of settlement, things going on, which automatically take your Vata up. And I realized that Vata, high Vata outside in the environment, and because of the situation that was going on in my life, automatically my Vata went up. And I started to feel some changes, some level of anxiety. Even if I was a practitioner for about last 10 years, practicing a lot of, dietary practices, lifestyle practices, Ayurveda, yoga practices, all of that, but because of my situation and a very big shift in my life, that Vata went up even if I was a good practitioner for last 10 years. So that situation brought me into a state of a little bit of being a little more high on anxiety, being a little high on being feeling ungrounded and unsettled. So and it lasts season on season. So that time passed away because I was very busy settling down and just making sure that we are settled at a new place. Summer months are automatically bring down a level of heat, bring down a level of activity. So when you're active, you don't realize that feeling of unsettlement or grounding, ungroundedness happening inside the body. Now, when the summers went off, and in the winters, October was the autumn time which was about this, the traits of windy and traits of dryness, coolness, which we just mentioned and discussed in this session. Then we moved on to the winters. Now winters in Canada is like it's like peak and snowing, and then the environment was new for us. So even if I was going through some kind of changes at the body and mind level, it did not impact much because we were quite busy experiencing the new place and enjoying the nature and all. So once you actually become familiar with the place you start living in, when it's like second season going on for us right now. Now this time around, when October has stuck in, I realized that the imbalances that I created during our shifting phase have lingered on, season on season. And during these specific seasons, the specific traits of body and mind traits of those specific seasons in some form have showed in my body and mind. The good part is because I'm aware, I have been, practicing, have maintained a certain level of discipline in my diet and lifestyle and in my practices. It did not impact much. But still it is happening and I know what to do about it. And that's where that understanding of balance, I understood by studying Ayurveda. Because when you know that you're going in a state of ungroundedness, what is it that you need to do to bring about that balance? What is it that will bring back your balance is the opposite quality. So immediately as I realize, okay, this is not right with me, body and mind wise, this is what I need to bring in to bring my balance back. And this is how I work on, that's how I maintain my health. So, similarly, the similar aspect actually applies to everything, be it your diet, your lifestyle, your practices, your yoga practices, your thought process, everything. And that's the level of consciousness. So if Ayurveda and yoga speak about that, we should be more aware, be mindful, be living more conscious. This is what it means in our daily life. You should know what's going on, what level of imbalance at the body mind level you're facing, and immediately taking an opposite action to bring about that balance. So this is how it goes. So yeah, coming back to our question about Surya Namaskars, now relating to that aspect, now when I realized that my Vata is high, earlier I used to practice 108 Surya Namaskars in every season. This time I'm not doing it because I know there's a little bit high Vata moving inside my body. I don't want to take it even more higher because as of now I have not attained my 100% balance. Until I achieve that, I'm not going to get into that state of high activity, and I'll focus on bringing that balance by bringing in opposite qualities of windy, coldness, dryness and roughness, which is about grounding, nurturing, oiliness, warmth. So you need to really take a call, where do you stand? If age wise also, if you are late 30s plus and 40s, that is also where your Vata is naturally high inside your body. In that case, you again need to focus on the traits of warmth, more hydration, more bringing in opposite qualities of Vata in your diet and lifestyle to bring about that balance. So Surya Namaskars, about 5 to 10 rounds a day is absolutely okay. Do it slow, do it with holdings this time around rather than getting into those flows. You should be able to sweat out as much as you feel that sweat under your armpits just starting to happen. That's all you need to do during this time if your focus is not weight loss or not getting into intense practices. But if you've just broken the sweat, is where you've released the toxin, and this is what you need to do to make sure that you've done some level of activity but you've not actually highly aggravated Vata as well. So I hope that answers your question. Okay, perfect. I think, yeah, Sukshma Vyayams are good for joints. Yes, exactly. We need to focus on Sukshma Vyayams specifically during this time of the year. So it's a very good idea. Can Anulom Vilom cure blood pressure? Another question. So, when these one-sided questions actually, there's a lot being talked about it. I frankly, personally, do not believe 100% in these one-sided solutions. So you need to see everything in a relative manner. If you say, can Anulom Viloma cure blood pressure? Yes, it does help cure blood pressure. But is that the answer? No, that's not the answer. You need to really understand what are the root factors which are giving you high blood pressure. Is your diet not right? Is your diet high on salt? Is your are you an overthinker? Are there any kind of imbalances in the body? Are you making sure that you're focusing on your health? If you're not doing any of those things and you say that, let me keep living my lifestyle and let me bring Anuloma in my practice and that'll heal my blood pressure. That's not the way to go. That's not how actually it works. So, yes, of course, you as a healing remedy, you can definitely bring in Anuloma Viloma. But it's more about your Dinacharya, how you bring in your diet and lifestyle in a specific pattern, aligning it with your age, aligning it with your with the environment, aligning it with your routine. When you kind of create that, do that mapping and create your lifestyle around that mapping is where you start to feel that holistically, not just blood pressure, but anything associated with blood pressure also starts to reverse back in the body. That's actually the way to go. And that's the reason, as a part of my venture, I have gradually studied macrobiotics, yoga, Ayurveda. And after knowing the entirety of everything, I've now started focusing not only on yoga, but yoga and Ayurveda as a lifestyle, because this is where the root of the problems lies in. You need to see yoga and even Ayurveda as a lifestyle rather than thinking that I've done that 1 hour of practice in my day. So yeah, I think that answers your question. So, okay. Yeah, I think no more questions. Which pranayama is good before starting the asana practice? Okay, so I think we have another question. Which pranayama is good for starting, for doing before your asana practice? Again, as I mentioned, you don't need to do a lot of pranayama activities. Before starting your asana practice, you need to prepare your body, and this is what the warm-up does to you. So even before you actually start your pranayama practices, you can, it's like either way around. You can start your practice with a pranayama, or you can start your practice with a warm-up and then do a pranayama and then go on to the asana. Any which ways that works for you. But the idea is you need to prepare your body for the asana. When you're preparing your body for the asana, you should not be doing any intense kind of activities at all, because that's where you will start to burden your body in the wrong way. I have gone through the repercussions of not following these principles and had very severe shoulder nerve injury because of that, and I can vouch for it. Do not get into any kind of a practice before preparing your body. Preparation of the body for asana practice happens with warm up, and for your body to get into a spiritual mode during your pranayama, during your asana practice, pranayama beginning is great. So two practices that can really help you with your asanas from the pranayama perspective: few rounds of Anulom Vilom and few rounds of Kapalbhati. Kapalbhati with the holding, maybe flapping your abdomen, doing pranayama, Kapalbhati a few times, and then holding the breath inside and repeating this cycle for say about 2 to 3 times, and then moving on to Anulom Viloma pranayama, which will bring about that balance in your nervous system, which will help you stay with your practice, creating that a sense of sankalpa, that a sense of intention in your practice. So pranayama really helps you do that, and these two pranayama are good pranayamas to start before your asana practice. So something about the yogic diet. I think that's a very huge topic. I have a separate session planned on yogic diet, rather a course coming up on yogic diet, which would be a combination of understanding the modern side of yoga as well as the traditional side of yoga, and bringing in the best of two worlds to design your yoga diet. But to give you the quick clues, a yoga diet can actually be looked upon in different phases. Phase one can be, if you are a yoga practitioner, what is it that you are eating wrong, which is impacting your health? So that is where it starts from. For somebody who's a very chronic alcohol consumer, or who's very high on animal food consumer, says that I want to get high on the yoga philosophy. For that person to feel the best effects of yoga, this person, the yoga diet at the first level has to go off any kind of foods which are tamasic in nature, or which are very high on animal food, which can create that level of aggression or inside the body. That's level number one. So for somebody who reaches this level, can move on to level number two, which is about now making sure that you bring in foods, only the foods which impact your organ systems in a way that your organ systems keep functioning fine. that support you in a yoga practice. So that happens with the aspect of macrobiotic principles coming in, that comes with the aspect of understanding how whole and natural foods and getting rid of refined foods, getting rid of, you know, ready-made foods. That's level number two that that you need to focus on. Level number three, then going even higher on this aspect. Level number three is more about understanding who you are as a person and what is it from the diet perspective that's really going to make you feel better with your diet. So that aspect sets in through the understanding of Ayurveda principles of diet, which is more about understanding what kind of a person type you are. Are you a Vata type, Pitta type or Kapha type or a mixed type? And then bringing in, filtering your diet level up to make sure that you are eating only the foods that are supporting your energy. So when you're eating as per your, Vata, Pitta and Kapha tendencies, you are not just supporting your body, you're supporting your mind, you're supporting your energy as well. So that's level number three. And then if you want to go even more higher, then it's the concept of prana or high vibrational foods that directly impact your brain activity, which is more from the spiritual perspective. That's not from the asana perspective, but from the spiritual perspective, where you look at foods to support your spiritual practices rather than your body. So you know that's how it the hierarchy goes on. But yeah, definitely I'm planning a session on that and a course on that. Okay, if we do something intense, any specific diet? See, any specific diet, I would not recommend any specific diet, because each person is different and each body type is different, and Ayurveda looks at you as a very individual type. The only keyword or clue that I can give you here is focus on whole and natural foods. That's your very beginning. That's where it starts from, and then you keep filtering it according to your health goals and your body and personality type. Okay, and I think we are mostly done with the questions. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I think, I'm done with my session. And just to announce before I wind up my session, there's a webinar coming up on the approach to designing your diet and lifestyle in yoga practices, which is on 13th October. If you are interested in the webinar, we'll be sharing the link by tomorrow in my LinkedIn link tree. I'll be also sharing it on my stories. You can join this free webinar, get a chance to get in touch with me directly and get any of your queries or questions answered in that webinar. So that webinar would be a detailed webinar around the similar concepts that we talked about, but how do you practically now bring it into your daily life is what I'll be talking about in that webinar. So I invite you to join this webinar. It's going to be a really good chance to understand the energetics of this season really nicely and bring about shifts in your diet and lifestyle so that you live according to the season and enter winters really in a good state of body and mind. So keep watching for the stories and link on my link tree for this webinar. And thank you so much for joining me today. I think it was a great session. Thank you for your questions as well. I think it also helps open up my thought process on how we should be on different aspects what we should be doing, because through questions you actually get the answers. So thank you so much for being there, and I look forward to you to be there on joining my webinar on 13th October as well. Thank you.